It is such a, so glad to have our special Brother Patterson here, but before he comes, we're going to have Brother Tim Knopp come up here, if he could come up here for a minute. Brother Tim is over our CMI. You can go ahead and be seated for a moment, I guess. Brother Tim Knopp and Sister Kim are over, they were over our campus ministry for many years, and I think I first met Brother Tim Knopp in 1985. And he was here going to college along with Kim, his high school sweetheart. They were not yet married at that time. And we were building a home, and Tim would come over on Friday nights and would work all night long down in the basement trying to get things all ready, finishing off the lower level of the home, and then would go all bail out and head over to Perkins or someplace or Denny's and have breakfast. So I got to know him very well. And it's just been an honor to be a friend of Tim and Kim Knopp's for the, over these years. So we'd like for him to come, if he would, please. Sister Kim, if you could stand. She hates standing, but Sister Hannah LaDuke is our college, our local college campus director. If she would stand. So you're not going to get out of this. I asked her if she wanted to introduce Brother Patterson tonight, and she said no. Let Tim do it. So I introduced Brother Tim, and I appreciate you, brother, so much. You've been such a great friend, and I want you to introduce our speaker tonight. God bless you.
Praise God. What I remember from Pastor Roy Grant's house is one day, or one night it might have been, usually the night's what I remember, but it was so cold out, I hit my thumb with a hammer, and it tore the skin right off of it, and it was so cold out it wouldn't bleed. But Roy made me work. I had to keep working. It was no stop, and it didn't bleed. It just froze right there. It was cold. So some of you may be wondering why campus ministry? Why are we doing this? Why is this important? How many of you like trivia? Really? My wife loves trivia. This is funny. You're going to get a kick out of this. But so she loves trivia, and she plays this all the time on her phone. And so sometimes when she can't find the answer, she'll know what the answer is. She'll ask me. I'm like, what are you doing to ask me? I didn't want to play that game. She'll ask me, and I'll say, I don't know, you know, A, B, C, or D. It was B. And it's C. And she says, oh. I knew that. I shouldn't have asked you. I'm like, what'd you ask me for? If you really want, you know, I don't know. Trivia-wise, I want to give you a little campus ministry trivia from Madison. Would anyone, and you can speak out if you know the answer, but I'd ask for only one of you, if you know one answer, give the answer, and if you know two or three or four, you know, wait. Okay, don't get them all. To the best of our knowledge, can anyone give me the date that campus ministry started on in Madison, Wisconsin? Did I hear 1966 from anyone? Oh, well, you know, the ones who came up with the questions can't give the answers, so trivia. 1966, to the best of our knowledge, was the year that campus ministry started in Madison, Wisconsin. In just a little more trivia, that was my date of birth, was 1966 as well. I know I look a lot younger than that. Who in the congregation here is the longest standing campus minister who preached on campus? We'll say, Who is the longest standing minister who preached on campus? Bishop John Grant, yes. And I could not tell you what the year was, but he has spent many sermons down on campus, State Street area, and the like, ministering on campus, ministered to many students in the past. What was the first name of campus ministry on Madison. Can anyone give me a name? What was the group known as? Conquerors for Christ was the name. I know. Oh, no one won that one. Conquerors for Christ. And then we became the Fellowship of Apostolic Students. Well, Conquerors for Christ was a little controversial. You know, it was kind of like we were getting the swords out and we're going to slay people. So we went to Fellowship of Apostolic Students, which was like way too many words, way too long. And they're like, what was that? So it gave us an opportunity to explain some things. And then we became Campus Ministry International, which was and is the affiliation of the international version of Campus Ministry for the United Pentecostal Church, to which the Pattersons are also a part of that international work. So that is trivia. I have known Scott Patterson and his wife for approximately 20 years, as long as they've been, well, maybe not quite that long, but as long as they've been coming to district events. And I remember in 2006, is that correct, Scott? When he gave up a career in engineering to pick up and become the first and only campus evangelist, full-time campus evangelist in the United States for the United Pentecostal Church International, on a wing and a prayer. I remember looking at Scott thinking, oh, Lord, you know, I'm sure glad that's not me doing that. Because that was a huge leap of faith. A huge leap of faith. And here we are 20 years later, he's still doing that. I would say countless of thousands of lives have been impacted, just like in Madison here and the surrounding communities with respect to campus ministry. Scott and Amy and their family have ministered and continue to minister for Penn State University. Let's hear it for Penn State. I didn't really intend for you to clap for that. And Pennsylvania College of Technology. Penn State's got about 47,000 students in it, right around the same size as the university here at Madison is. And Pennsylvania College of Technology, around 12,000. So we're looking at, what's 47 plus 12? 69. Ooh, I went to school. It took me 5 years to get out, but I did it. Okay. So with no further ado, I would like to introduce to you Scott Patterson. Scott, please take your liberty, minister.
Praise God. Let's give that to Jesus tonight. Hallelujah. Lord, you're so wonderful, Jesus. Wow. And Brother Knopp does know his math. Amen. When he said 20 years, I know you're saying, what? Wait a minute. 06? 20 years? That's not 20 years. It was 20 years that we have been involved with campus ministry at some point and at some level. And the Lord has blessed, and the Lord is doing great and wonderful things. And I'm going to tell you just briefly about that here in a moment. But I want to say thank you to Pastor Grant for allowing us to be here. And it's so great to be a part of something that's bigger than yourself. Amen. Praise God. I give honor to Bishop Grant. I want to thank the church for this. We were here about 5 years ago. I don't know if some of you remember us being here. But, I want to thank the church. What an amazing deputation survival kit that we received at the hotel called the Gift Basket. And while we travel, that is going to be put into use, and thank the church so very much for that. And it's so wonderful to see the Knopps, and we just appreciate them and love them so very much. And, so great to see Hannah. And the legacy of this church, in all of our travels all across the United States, and when it comes up, I talk about you. You know, they have been involved with campus almost 49 years. The campus ministry through the church 49 years. That is wonderful. Praise God. Think of all of the lives that this church has made an impact in regards to reaching these college students. Amen. I hope that someday that Penn State, the Center Point Church at Penn State, can say, hey, we've been running for 49 years and we're still seeing souls being saved by the power of God in their lives. Amen. Campus ministry, and I know you know this because you've been involved for so long, but campus ministry is not just for yourself. Praise God. Yes, it does help our young apostolics. How many realize as an apostolic, you need to be plugged into a church? Obviously, you know because you're here tonight. Amen. Our apostolics get sent away to college, and many of them never get plugged into the local church that's there. We had a young lady that came to Penn State from Philadelphia area and within the last two or three years here, and it wasn't 3 weeks. It wasn't 3 days. It was 3 hours. She grew up in an apostolic church. It was 3 hours, and she's calling people saying, I can't do this. I can't do this. It is a culture shock when you step onto Madison, when you step onto the university here. It is a culture shock. And I'm so thankful that we have an apostolic church in Penn State, amen, in State College. I'm so thankful that we have an apostolic campus ministry there because we are helping our own apostolic stay connected to church. That young lady, I can proudly say that she's now teaching Bible studies. Amen. She's now stepping out, inviting people to church. We helped her get involved with the church. Amen. Get involved in the kingdom of God, and we're seeing her do great things for the kingdom of God. Amen. Campus ministry also evangelizes. We have been, listen, Penn State is a tough place. Here, how many do you have at your campus ministry? 10, 15? We've got 2 students that are apostolic. Okay, if you're going to come to State College, you've got to be going there for a reason. The closest, I mean, you go outside of the town itself, there's more students involved, enrolled at the campus than there are people in the town. You go outside of the town and you're going through woods and you're going through cow pastures, you're driving by Amish folk, horse and buggy. And so when we get students, we're shouting. But a lot of it is evangelism. A lot of it is reaching out to people that have no idea about the things of God. And that's what the church is all about, folks. Amen? Praise God. It's about winning souls. We have seen, and I'm not bragging on myself, but we have seen student after student come to the acknowledge of who God is because we went to a university. And when these, as you know, when these students go home, they go home to their own countries, they go home to their home areas, and some of them actually stay. Amen. I'm so thankful that this church reaches out to the college students. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. We're also doing campus ministry, also reaches out to international students. And I'll start off by saying that between the last time I was here and today, we made a connection with some Chinese students. I don't want to go into the full story because I do want to preach. But we walk up. I believe in divine utterances. Okay? If you haven't already, write down Colossians chapter 4 and begin to pray it. That God would open up doors of utterance. Amen. And then not only just pray it, but it says that you got to watch for the answers to happen. And so I've been praying that. We walk up to... We pull up. We didn't walk up. We drive up to unload all of our stuff at Penn State. And there's 3 Chinese students with a crowbar digging into the front of their Mercedes SUV. And I said, ding, 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 ding. Okay, something's not right. And so I walk over. I said, you guys need some help? And immediately they kind of huddled together. I said, no. Take our stuff in. We come back out. Are you sure you guys don't need some help? Finally, one of the Chinese students said, we have been working at this for 3 hours. And so I said, well, I can help you. And I asked him if I could have his cell phone, and I grabbed his cell phone from him, and I dialed myself. Amen. The Bible says, he that winneth souls is wise. I just got his cell phone number and his contact information. He didn't even know it. Amen. And so, long story short, we helped him out, got everything set. I texted him about 3 weeks later and said, hey, we're having a church Christmas party at our church. At that time, Center Point Church was in a hotel, home mission style church. I said, we're having a Christmas party. Would you like to come? And his response was, are there going to be drinks? So I replied, absolutely. We work with college students. I know what he was getting at. And then I texted him water and tea, just so I clear the air. Praise God. So they came, made a connection with a young man named Ben. His actual name is Bien. And so I made a connection with him and his girlfriend, Jade. 2.5 year process. You know, sometimes winning souls is not just an overnight deal. It's spending time with people, showing them that you care, showing them that you'll step out of your way because you genuinely want to know them. Ben calls me one time and says, How do you get a rental vehicle? Ben, what do you need a rental vehicle for? You have a car. Well, I have to get to New York City to take Jade back to China. We want to get a hop a flight on JFK. Said, Ben, don't worry about it. Scott, it's a three and a half hour drive. Why would you do that? You know, we have to inconvenience ourselves sometimes when you recognize the important things in life. So on the way there, we're driving, and Ben goes, Scott, you're my best and only American friend. Best and only. If you call him up right now, he's taking classes there at New York University. He'll tell you, Scott's my best and only American friend. So we made a connection with them. We have this conference every year called Deeper Conference. And there's a reason I'm telling you about it. First of all, I want you to go on Facebook, Deeper PSU, and look us up. Deeper Conference. The campus pays for our speakers. This year is going to be Stan Gleason and Tim Green to come and evangelize Penn State. How cool is that? Praise God. We get about $6,000 from the university to host apostolic preaching. And for your campus ministry here, as you know, it's all in the wording. Praise God. We don't tell them that we're having a preaching conference. We tell them we're having motivational speakers. Amen. And it works. I say if we're able to get money from the world, we're going to try all that we can to get money from the world. Because remember, I told you that the church there is a home mission style church. Praise God. So we have this conference, Deeper Conference. And it was at Deeper Conference 2 years ago that I said to Ben, I said, you've got to get here. Get to Deeper Conference. And so they came late, like they usually did. They came late, but they came. And by the end of service, he was at the altar, hands raised. I said, Lord, give Ben a tear. And I saw a little tear come out. And then I started praying against witchcraft. You may say, why would you pray against witchcraft? Little did I know, sitting down with Ben and his girlfriend, she says, did you know Ben has written a book? I'm like, we're sitting down for dinner. I'm like, what are you talking about? Ben has written a book? And he says, I've actually written 6 of them. You look his name up on the internet, they're likening him unto Rawlings, who wrote the Harry Potter series in China. You never know who you're going to reach. Amen? I want to encourage your campus ministry here. You never know the potential of those students that are sitting next to you. Praise God. You never know who you're going to reach. And so I began to pray against witchcraft. And within seconds, Ben is just pouring his tears out, praying in the Holy Ghost for about 45 minutes. And it was such a joy for us to see him get filled with the Holy Ghost. Praise God. It was such a joy for us. Praise God. And then I said, Ben, it would be an honor for me to baptize you in Jesus' name. Would you let me do that? We have a baptismal tank. We take it right on campus. and we go right to the root of the campus, and we pray, and we baptize them in Jesus' name, and watch God wash away their sins. Amen. And Ben now has the Holy Ghost. He's been baptized in Jesus' name, and I'm so thankful for what God has done in his life. Amen. Praise God. I want to say this in regards, and I don't do this every service, but do we realize the impact that you're making as a campus ministry and a church to this whole state? It was in Revelation where the seat of Satan was at the city of Pergamum, which is a place of high learning. It thrills me to know that we are taking apostolic authority to our universities and our campuses across the United States, and we're literally tearing down strongholds because we go to those universities. Amen? Come on, that's what this church is doing. How many believe that here tonight? That's what the impact of this church is doing to this state, because you've taken it to that university. Hallelujah. Give yourself a hand. Jesus, God, you're so wonderful. Hallelujah. 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 Let's all stand briefly here and let's pray. You know, it is said that I'm going to talk about something here tonight that I believe is that the church needs in the hour and the day that which we live. How many want to know a key to revival in the days that we're living in? Your campus ministry needs it. The church needs it. Before we do that, fervent, faith-filled, persistent prayer is a prerequisite of God's manifestation, his manifest presence in the church. So let's pray. Lord, we thank you today. God, we honor you today. God, we worship you today. Jesus, touch us tonight, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Let your spirit fall on us, Lord Jesus. God, let the gifts of your spirit be in operation. Hallelujah, by the power of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And we're going to do something a little bit different here tonight. Continue to be standing, okay? Can I just be me? All right, we're gonna sing a Holy Ghost-filled song that a lot of us heard during Sunday school. All right? And it's This Little Light of Mine. Can we do that here tonight? This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Do you know verse 2? Hide it under a bushel. No, I'm gonna let it shine. You gotta shout it out. Hide it under a bushel. No, gonna let it shine. Hide it under a bushel. No, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. How many know 3? Don't let Satan it out. I'm gonna let it shine. You gotta do the blow. Let Satan it out. I'm gonna let it shine. Don't let Satan it out. I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine. Shine. Let it shine. Back to verse 1. This little light. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine. Hold on a second. Hold on a second. What in the world are we singing? What in the world are you singing? Are you not apostolic? Come on. Why, as apostolics, would we get excited over this little light? I don't know about you, but this ain't just a little light that I've got. Come on, this is the Holy Ghost. Come on, this is so much more than just a little light. Hallelujah, come on, can you feel the power of God? Jesus, You know, we need to change our mindset. There's some things we need to change with that attitude. This is not a little thing. You receive the Holy Ghost. You receive God. How many believe that here tonight? Hallelujah. We need to change the words. Can I do that tonight? This flaming fire of mine, I'm going to let it burn. Come on, this flaming fire of mine, I'm going to let it burn. This flaming fire of mine, I'm going to let it burn. This flaming fire of mine, I'm going to let it burn. This flaming fire of mine, I'm going to let it burn. Burn, let it burn, let it burn. You know, we normally you would say, hide it under a bushel. No. This Holy Ghost thing that we got, you can't hide this thing. Come on. If you can just simply crawl back into your shell and crawl back into your own comfort zone, you don't got the Holy Ghost the way that I got it. Come on. Hide it under a bushel? That's ridiculous. Hide it under a bushel? I can't. I'm going to let it burn. Ready? Hide it under a bushel? I can't. I'm going to let it burn. Hide it under a bushel? I can't. I'm going to let it burn. Hide it under a bushel? I can't. I'm going to let it burn. Let it burn. Let it burn. Let it burn. Oh, change your mindset. Come on, you just take your glasses off for a second. Okay, those who have glasses, all right? I would tell you to throw them on the chair and sit on them, but I'm not going to have you do that here tonight. But we need to change our lenses. Do you hear me tonight? We need to change our lenses. If we think Satan's got any kind of advantage in our lives, because my God is so much bigger than Satan. Come on. Come on. Satan cannot blow it out. What are you talking about? Satan, how did it go? Satan, don't let Satan blow it out. Satan cannot blow it out. Can I hear an amen? Satan cannot blow you out. Praise God, if you're full of the Holy Ghost, he can't blow you out. If you're connected in prayer, he can't blow you out. Come on, if you're connected in fastings, if you're in your word, he cannot blow you out. Hallelujah. Satan cannot blow you out. I'm gonna let it burn. Satan cannot blow me out. I'm gonna let it burn. Satan cannot blow you out. I'm gonna let it burn. Burn, let it burn, let it burn. Hallelujah. Clap your hands here tonight. Thank you, Jesus. How many are excited for living for God? Come on, how many are excited about being filled with the Holy Ghost? How many are excited about being baptized in His name? Having your sins washed away? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We got to change our mindset. If you walk around thinking you may be seated, but please understand, I know it's midweek service. I know it's Wednesday night. But at any time, if you feel like you need to get up and just run around, do a little jig a little while, go right ahead. Amen. It's not going to bother me one bit. Hallelujah. Because we're talking about this flaming fire that's inside of us. We're talking about what can change the atmosphere of this region. Praise God. If we go around thinking we have just a little light, we're missing out on the confidence and the boldness in the Holy Ghost that God has given you to make a difference in the world that you live in. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We're living in an hour where we must boldly proclaim the things of God. Come on, there's so much garbage out there. Don't spend your time watching the news every night. You'll get depressed. Rather spend some time in prayer and be encouraged in the Lord. Praise God. You know, God has done so much for my life. If I were to take you right now and take you to Penn State, you would see that there's been such a time where, of just frustration. Anybody ever been frustrated before? You know, I went before the Lord. It's so bad in my house. My wife has bought me a book about how to get out of frustration. That's being frustrated. You know, I went to the Lord, and I asked him a question, studying all this, getting this together. What is the difference between churches or campus ministries or organizations? What is the difference in a ministry growing and a ministry that dies? Because it would be a shame for us to work these 20 years on these campuses just to have them die out. Come on, it would be a shame for 49 years of legacy just to have it die out. Because I want to know, how can I make this happen, Lord? How do I do this, Jesus? We'll read some scriptures here. I feel many times unlearned and ignorant. You know, just how do you do it, God? And so I want to know. And what I see here in scripture, the difference between the ministries that grow and the ministries that die out is not that the good news changes. Amen? There's got to be a key. There's got to be something. You look in the book of Acts, you know, they didn't have social media. Young people, they didn't have the internet. They didn't have, guess what, cell phones. I know some younger generation, like my son, will be like, how in the world would you live without a cell phone? He didn't have cell phones, but yet they reached the masses. They were able to see thousands come to the knowledge of the oneness of God. They were able to see thousands get baptized. How did they do it? Hallelujah. The key was, and this is what I found, is that they had boldness. Let me tell you what boldness is by telling you what it's not. All right? Boldness is not a pushy witness. A bold witness is not a pushy witness. Okay? Some people like to take people and shove their face in the grass, tell them that they need to know in a 5-second spiel and call out the name of Jesus and feel justified because they said the name of Jesus. A bold witness is not a pushy witness. A bold witness is not necessarily a loud witness. Amen? Come on. A bold witness is not an obnoxious witness. Do you ever know those people that are just every time you talk to them, it's always about scripture. Overly saved, that's the word I was looking for. Where I heard one comedian say something to the fact of, hey, I lost my keys. You know where my keys are? And the response is, you need the keys of the kingdom. You know, that anytime you talk, you know, it's always about scripture. Praise God. I'm not doubting knowing scripture. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying when you're witnessing to people who have no idea, okay, a bold witness is not obnoxious. Matter of fact, we have students at Penn, I don't know how it happens here, but we have people at Penn State that get up on the high rise and they point their fingers at students every single day. And they tell them they're going to hell. That's not boldness. In my mind, that's stupidity. Amen? Bold witness. Boldness is this. Openly, freely, plainly, with confidence. And most commonly, did you know this? That the translation is openly, freely, plainly, with confidence, and some form of word bold. It is mentioned 42 times alone in the New Testament. Praise God. Hallelujah. Boldness is this, not hesitating in the fear of face of actual possible danger or rebuff. Courageous and daring like a bold hero. Another translation or another definition would be kind of how Esther knew that she was going to die, that her people were going to die. But you know what? She said, you know what? I've got to do something. I've got to go before the king, even though I know I'm not supposed to. Something rose up inside of her. It says, I've got to make a difference. Come on, in our lives, we've got to make a difference in somebody's life. Where if we know that we have the keys to help somebody, and we sit back passive. That's not being bold. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Let's raise our hands and just talk to him here tonight. Oh, we need you tonight, God. God, let your spirit just have its way, Lord, in this place, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 I have a very profound question. Are you a snail's eye or a lion's eye? Now, I know it's hard to imagine this with Brother Knopp being so old, but can you imagine him at a young age of 5? You know, when he goes out at nighttime and he sees that snail. Do you guys have snails up here in Wisconsin? No, we have snails in Pennsylvania. Tim goes outside, he sees a snail. It's got those eyes poking out of his head. And little boy, you know, you have to. Matter of fact, when I was studying this, I had to. Praise God, you have to touch that thing. What happens when you touch an eyeball, that snail's eye, is it shrivels back into itself. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be a snail Christian. That in the face of opposition, I clam up and go back into myself. Now, if Tim would go up to a lion and do the same thing to a lion, the results would be very different. I guarantee it would be different. He may not have a finger when he's done or an arm. Praise God. Proverbs 28:1 says this, the wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are as bold as a lion. Do we have any righteous folk in the house here tonight? Hallelujah. Come on, I believe it's a characteristic of God to have boldness, that the church has boldness. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. The book of Acts, there's an awesome pattern in chapter 4 of what I'm talking about here tonight. Boldness. Understand that for, you know, all these college students that are here and all these great scholars that are here, it's no brainer. 4 is right after 3. I know that was very insightful, and I've awed you at that. What happened in 3? Peter and John are on their way to prayer. Get the picture. So many times we, even as apostolics, are so consumed by our schedules that we don't even recognize that there's somebody in need. It would have been so easy for me to say, you know what? I'm doing the apostolic thing. I'm getting ready for Bible study at Penn State. There's 3 Chinese students who need help. Oh, well, I've got to get my room set up for Bible study. And missed an opportunity, that a friendship that will last a lifetime. Come on, you get what I'm saying here tonight? Peter and John are on their way to the temple to pray. It didn't take them long to see this lame man. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. Come on, rise up. Come on. How inconvenient are our schedules that we can't step out every once in a while and reach out to somebody who's in need? It could drastically change both of your lives. Amen. So on the heels of chapter 3, and we find here at the beginning that the religious folk were grieved. In verse 2, that they taught the people and preached that through Jesus, the resurrection of the dead. The religious folk were grieved. They were annoyed. They were disturbed because they were preaching and teaching about Jesus' rising from the dead. Amen? Howbeit, verse 4, many of them which heard the word, Peter and John's boldness was blessed. Understand that here tonight. It was blessed. Read what it says. Howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. I don't know about you, but I'd like to have a 5,000 soul revival at Penn State. Come on. And we'll get to something here that you don't need to pray for a 5,000 soul revival. You're saying, what? Let's read on. this amazes me. Chapter 4, verse 6 and 7, Ananias, the high priest, was there, along with Cephas, John, Alexander, and the other relatives of the high priest. And they brought the two disciples and demanded, by what power or in whose name have you done this? How many realize here today that boldness might just cause some questions? Amen. Again, please don't take me the wrong way. It's not being pushy. It's not being overbearing. But it's standing for truth. It's talking about what God has been doing in the church. It's talking about what God has been doing in your lives. Praise God. It's talking about what God is doing. Hallelujah. Peter's response wasn't timid. It wasn't of a softer tone. He didn't water it down, but he responded with another sermon. And he told them that they were responsible for Jesus' death. And he opposed their opposition with truth. How many want a little boldness here today? Praise God. Verse 12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Oh, how many love the word of God here tonight? Hallelujah. I want to let somebody know, if you're here and you've never been baptized in that precious name of Jesus, I'm sure the water's ready. Hallelujah. You can have your... Pastor, I say it this way. I don't understand why somebody would not want their sins washed away. To me, it's a no-brainer. Hallelujah. You know, it's amazing when you look at Peter and you look at his life. What was the difference between Peter in before Jesus' death, and now in Acts chapter 4, you see him with such boldness inside of him? Prior to Jesus' dying, I mean, you see him, and this woman comes up to him and says, wait a minute, didn't I see you? You were with him. No, I don't know what you're talking about. He's with a bunch of guys around the burn barrel and said, wait a minute, you look familiar. You were hanging out with Jesus. I know you were. Nope, wasn't me. Three times Jesus denies him. What was the difference between that and here in Acts chapter 4, where you see him boldly stepping up and proclaiming the things of God? I'll tell you what the difference was, because it's the same difference that happened to you and I when we received the Holy Ghost. And that is the Acts 2 experience. Praise God. God has given, guess what, folks? God has given you the ability. You may not know Scripture in and out. You may not understand it all, but God has given you the Spirit of God to be able to tell people about the great things that He's doing in your lives. Hallelujah. How many has God done some pretty awesome things? Praise God. Hallelujah. Boldness. Verse 13, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, that's how I feel, they marveled and they took knowledge of them, that they had been with Jesus. There ought to be something radiating out from us as apostolics. That people see that you've been with Jesus. Come on, when you go to your workplaces tomorrow, there ought to be people that look at you and say, what is so different about you? Why is it that you glow? Well, I've been in the presence of God this morning. Hallelujah. Notice I didn't say I've been in the presence of God last night. Come on, I've been in the presence of God this morning. I went before His throne before I got to work, and I'm prayed up, and that's why you feel this Jesus coming out from me. Hallelujah. So the council asks, what are we going to do with these men? How unable to deny the miracle that was standing in front of them. Verse 18 says, they called, commanded them not to teach and to preach Jesus. You know, it's very interesting that, you know, their response was, we are only going to speak of what we've seen and heard. Again, we've got to talk about this thing. I don't know about you, but church is my life. Amen. My former life, I was extreme sports. That's all I did, and that's all I talked about. But I'm so thankful that God has changed my life. Amen. that the majority of my conversations is about church. Amen. I only talk about what I've seen and I've heard. You know, boldness will say, I simply cannot speaking about what Jesus is doing. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, the church, when they heard what happened to Peter and John, they began to pray. And it's amazing to me, they didn't pray that they would see another 5,000 soul revival. Matter of fact, they didn't even pray that they'd see a 500 soul revival. They didn't pray that they'd see five or one. It's astounding to me, and I believe we need to catch. I believe that I'm doing this to the best of my ability. I try to do this. When I see prayers that are in Scripture, I know that it's good. And I want to pray those prayers, just like Colossians chapter. I want to pray these prayers. Look at what the church prayed. And now, verse 29, the Lord, behold their threatenings. Grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. They didn't say that they would have a soul, you know, however many soul revival, but that they would give them boldness by stretching forth thine hand to heal. Catch this here tonight. And that signs and wonders may be done by thy holy child, Jesus. I believe wholeheartedly when we as a church grab hold of the prayers that are already prayed in Scripture, they prayed for boldness. And because they prayed for boldness, miracles, signs, and wonders flowed through their ministry because they prayed for boldness. Can you see that here? Listen, healings just aren't for inside the altar area of the church. Come on, there's people that we rub shoulders with day in and day out that need healing outside of the church. And what are we going to do? Are we going to sit back and be passive? Come on, you've got family members that are going to bed at nighttime with tears in her eyes, just wishing somebody would pray for them. Oh, if we would catch this here tonight, that people being filled with the Holy Ghost and being baptized in his name is a direct result of our prayers for being bold. Hallelujah. Because you know what? We're going to want to set up more Bible studies. Come on. We're going to step out and say, you know what? Pastor, I've never done this before, but I want to teach a Bible study to somebody. Can you help me? Come on, you're going to step out and you may know somebody that's just crying out for your attention. Wouldn't you like to just sit down and have Bible study? Wouldn't you like, you're going to invite people to church when you catch hold of what I'm talking about. You're going to bring people to the campus ministry that you recognize that may want to come. But if you don't step out and you don't pray for boldness, it's not going to happen. And people are going to be passed right on by. Opportunities. Hallelujah. God, help me not to miss opportunities. Jesus, let's all stand all across this place. Hallelujah. Matter of fact, why don't we do this here tonight? Let's just make our way all the way up to the altar here. Hallelujah. There's more. And as you're walking up, I want to read the rest of Acts chapter 4, verse 31. And when they had prayed, oh, if we could get this here tonight. When they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they spake the word of God with boldness. Hallelujah. Oh, this city needs some apostolic boldness. Come on, your campus needs some apostolic boldness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes, Jesus. How many believe it here tonight? Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 6 says this, praying always with all prayer. There's that prayer thing again. You're not going to catch this if you don't pray it. Amen. All that I've said tonight, if you don't pray it, God give me boldness, you're not going to catch it. But he says this here, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Now that's the big S. That's the Holy Ghost. If you're here tonight and you have the Spirit of God resting inside of you, residing inside of you, you ought to be praying in the Holy Ghost. Amen. That was pretty weak, but amen. You got to be praying in the Holy Ghost. I do this. I know there's been many times that I'm very carnal. And I go to prayer with my list. I guess say, God, I thank you for this. Thank you for today. Bless you. And I go down, bump, 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 bump. And I guess done. I'm off. I got stuff to do. But when was the last time we simply prayed when we got into our prayer after we said thank you? Said, God, let me pray in the Holy Ghost today. And not only that, Lord, but let me pray your prayers. God, use me to pray in the Holy Ghost. That's what he's talking about. Praying always in prayer and supplication in the Holy Ghost. I don't know about you, but I don't know how to reach Penn State. I don't know how to reach those students. So I pray, God, give me the keys in the Holy Ghost that is going to unlock my campus. Give me the keys in the Holy Ghost that's going to unlock my church. God, give me the keys in the Holy Ghost that's going to unlock my pastor. It says to pray in all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Look what it says. And watch thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. You begin to pray in the Holy Ghost. God puts things in your mind. God puts people in your mind. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Amen. Pray for boldness. God would and we're going to pray this tonight, that God would infuse boldness inside of us so that next time I'm here, we can see this church doubled, tripled, multiplied. How many believe it can happen? Hallelujah. Praise God. He says this, and for me that utterance may be given unto me. He's in prison. For me that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Who is he going to reach? It doesn't matter. God, give me boldness. God, give us boldness tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, for which I am an ambassador in bonds. I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Let's raise our hands all across this place. Oh, God. God, give us boldness here tonight, Jesus. God, touch us tonight, Lord. God, by the power of the Holy Ghost, Lord Jesus. God, that you would move and operate, Lord, in such a powerful way. God, give us boldness, Lord Jesus, to reach the multitude. God, enable me. Hallelujah. Come on, you may be passive. You may have that trait where you just feel like you can't talk to people. Oh, pray for boldness. Oh, pray for boldness. Jesus, infuse us. God, I pray right now. God, an infusion of boldness, Lord, would enter the church. Oh, God, that we would go out into the highways and byways. God, and compel people to come. Oh, I pray in the name of Jesus. God, that there be open doors of utterance, Lord, for this campus here, Lord. God, that there be open doors of utterance for this city. God, and they would see new students, Lord. Oh, come to the knowledge of you, God. Oh, that they'd see international students, Lord. Oh, that there would be an impact, Lord, for this whole region. Hallelujah, in the name of Jesus. Come on, pray in the Holy Ghost.